We are starting recording. We have not talked. We've not prepared. I'm just smashing the record button. This is the How To Podcast. What we're trying to figure out how to do this week, I have no idea. I am Luke Anderson. I am crunch for time. That is Ben Abbey. He positive energy today. So I don't know if I have positive energy or if I have manic energy, but we'll try to even out your positivity and my whatever I got going on. Does that work?
Manic and positivity can kind of they can be synonymous, right?
Like yeah. Mine's not positive. Mine is just I have frantic energy. I have I have too many things going on to know how many things I have going on right at this moment. I was not going to miss this podcast. I had a call that I just got off of that I was not going to miss, and they were both good calls. I mean, it's not like, oh, I have to do this because I need to know what the results of the test are to know if I'm dying or not. It wasn't anything like that where I must do it.
Got it.
No life and death, just things that I've set up where I'm like, hey, I'm not missing the how-to podcast. Let's move it to 9. Let's jump right on and start recording.
And just go with it.
And go with it. I have a bunch of other things that I need to figure out when we're done with this. So I've got that kind of energy, that like there's something behind the curtain. Don't know what it is. I'll worry about it when I get there.
I get, you know, and here's the thing I'll tell you. And you sent, like, I think you sent me an email like a week or two ago.
That you never got back to.
And I never got back to.
It was like 3 weeks ago.
It was a while ago.
It's been a while. And at least 3 weeks ago, which was a follow-up to one that you and I talked about the last time, that we talked about the time before that. This is like trying to get your attention in the summer when you run a painting business.
It's hard.
Difficult. But
well, and here's the thing. It's not that you don't have the attention. Well, no, okay. Like, I saw the email. You know what I mean? Sure. But what it is like I compartmentalize. It's like I can't. It, like, in my head, if I think about that now, it takes up that space that I need to go do X, Y, Z, whatever is ultimately more pressing in that moment. Right.
Well, so, and here's the thing. The email isn't like, I need something from you. This is the qualifier for it. I'm trying to help you with something.
Something. Yeah.
So like the fact that you're not getting back to me, I'm like, oh, well, it's not at the top of his priority list. And then I send a gentle reminder. It's not like, hey, I need this thing or my life completely collapses and everything is terrible.
You're good at the gentle reminder.
Yeah,
like, well, there's people that are not good at the gentle reminder. Okay. But I actually wanted to talk a little bit about that today.
Ooh.
Right.
Ooh.
A little bit about like just the manic, it gets, I feel like every industry has a period of time that is more elevated or more, it moves faster than other periods of time in that same industry.
I think the word you might be looking for is there's more urgency at certain times, right? Like,
yeah,
because, you know, there's two sides of my job. I work for Odyssey Radio. I am on air personality on the sports station.
And say it with your chest.
Right?
I need you to, he's an on air talent, people.
Well, listen, I'm a big deal. I'm a big deal. And you think this podcast, I can't say it, but there's more content from me coming, and you and I can talk about this opportunity because I actually might have a small piece for you in the thing, but this is going to be a departure for you because I'm going to need you really to focus and I'm going to need you to be responsive. It's going to be difficult, but here's, and I guess this can't say too much, but this all lines up with what I'm about to say, which is in the sports broadcast calendar, nothing has more urgency than football season because everybody loves football season. But the funny thing is we still have to do shows like yesterday. So today is the 21st of July. Remind me before we get off, I have to call my brother. It's his birthday. Just realized that.
No,
so yesterday, the 20th of July, 2022, the day changes, but the same time every year, there is one day every year where none of the major North American sports play a game. Mm-hmm. So if you look across the calendar, there's always at least a baseball game, a hockey game, a basketball game, or a football game going on every day of the year, except the day after the All-Star game. That's the only day that there is no live sporting events, because the day before the All-Star game, you have the home run derby, you have all that. Like, There was soccer on yesterday, but nobody really cares. So the funny thing is, it's much harder to do a sports radio show if you don't have a personality yesterday and today, right? Because there's really nothing to talk about. You can recap the All-Star game, but the All-Star game, who cares? And then today, there's really nothing to recap because all you could do yesterday was recap the All-Star game for baseball. So this is kind of the downtime. Like, you're trying to get through a show. Like, let's say you have to do 3 hours on the radio.
Okay.
You have to make up a bunch of crap to talk about. Mm. You get into football season and I could do a 5 hour show and I would not get to all the things that I want to talk about.
Yeah. You would, you couldn't hit all 32 teams. There's no way.
Yep. Absolutely. But it also coincides with the end of the year. And the other half of my job is sales. And that's also the busiest time. So it's like, it gets very frantic for you. Summertime. Summertime.
So here's my question that kind of ties into this. What do you do to bring that energy down? Meaning, here you are writing, high functionality, a lot of meetings, a lot going on, personal and business.
Yep.
What does Luke do personally to take it from here to come down? And you're still, you know, all the things that need to happen, right? But we all need something that is the escape. And I'm curious to see what yours is. And then I want to talk about mine, of course.
Okay, sure. You know, that is a very, very good question. I don't know that I have a clean plan, like an escape plan from that.
Okay.
What I've realized over the years is very few things that you put at the top of your urgency list are equal to the people that you're dealing with for those, right?
Certainly.
So that is kind of where my head goes, but I don't have like a, all right, so what I do is I draw a warm bath and sit down and light a candle and do all, none of that. I don't have like a checklist of things that I do.
Okay.
But what I do is I just realize that there are different urgency levels for different people around me. And whatever I am prioritizing the highest is very rarely matching on anybody else's list, right? So what I do is I just go, you know what? I'm just going to write it out and take whatever's in front of me. Mm-hmm. Like this morning, the phone call I just got off of this podcast, my next meeting, those three things are going to take up most of my day, right? Or most of my morning anyway.
Yeah.
So what I did was I just go, all right, let's just hit those three things. I'll have some downtime in between. Whatever's right in front of me, I will take care of. Because those are the people that are looking for a response, right?
And it's the most urgent, right?
But here are the two tricks that I use most often, and they both pertain to email.
Okay.
Is if my email inbox ever gets over full, I do this probably twice a year. I just get rid of everything.
Wait, hard delete?
Yeah, we switched to Gmail.
Yeah.
And now it's archive because it just goes away, right? Like, this is our company service.
I don't even know what that means when we say archive this email. Like, I don't know where that goes.
Well, so here's the thing. Outlook, it used to be delete, but your deleted emails would stay there until you went and deleted them permanently. Yeah. So it's basically the same thing. Like, I archive them. They basically go away, but they get out of my view.
Yeah.
And anybody that I forgot is going to give me a reminder, gentle or not. And now my inbox will slowly fill back up with the people that have the most urgency to it. So then I'll get those out of the way. So I go from 150 emails to 5. Those are very easy to take care of what's in front of me. Then I go back. Now I have time. And then I'll go back and I will slowly get back to the things that are on my priority list. I'll look at it and go, all right, what am I trying to accomplish? And so now I'm in charge again, right? So instead of dictating to that. The second one that I do is if I ever get caught in an email conversation with somebody, I'll send them a delayed response. So like I email Ben, you get right back to me and go, oh yeah, here's all the answers to those questions. I know this won't happen with you. We've already discussed that, but you get right back to me. So then I go, I get right back to you. If I've sent 3 emails, I will intentionally delay the next one 15 minutes. Okay. And then if you get right back to that one, I'll delay the next one an hour. And I'll go, don't deliver it at 1 o'clock. Like, yeah. And now it's off of though. But those are the two tricks that I have is if anybody's taking up too much of my time, it's like text messages.
Yeah. Like, it's falling into this funnel trap, right?
But yeah. But you send me a text message. I can't read right now.
Yep.
You know what I do? I don't read it.
Yeah. I do that.
But see, a lot of people, they read it right away and then they get caught up and then I have to respond. I do the same thing with email, whereas is like, if I don't have time to respond to it, I don't have time to read it. So that way it stays, like the notification stays there and I'll get to it when I get to it. And you know what? I really hate it when people don't get back to me. So I try my damnedest not to, but like there's a priority list, right? If you want to get a hold of me right now, call me. If you want to get a hold of me soon, text message. If you want to get a hold of me eventually, email me. Yeah. So that's how the hierarchy is in my list. And maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, but that's kind of the way I roll with it.
Well, I don't know that there is a right or wrong. I think it's sure. How everything functions. Exactly. Right? So
there's some people that send an email and they always mark that urgent thing on it. Oh. But you ever notice that only people that use urgent always use urgent?
Yeah. They're the Michael Scotts of the world, right? Like they just, it's urgent one, urgent two, urgent three, urgent four. Like, no, it's there. Like, again, I will say this over and over. There's no such thing as a paint emergency, right? Sure. That doesn't exist, but there are situations that are urgent for the particular project in a reactionary response.
I do need to give you a paint emergency.
Go. What?
When we moved into our house, we painted accent walls, which are accent walls still a thing? I feel like we've moved past accent walls.
No, they still happen.
But they're not as popular as they once were.
I think accent designer wallpaper is becoming a thing. But
there you go. Okay. So we did accent walls, and I was like, in the bedroom, I read something that said the most common color is blue. And I'm like, hey, let's just do a blue wall in the bedroom. There's two different colors of blue that we were trying to decide between. And my wife didn't like either of them, but also didn't understand, I don't know, what happened. So painter paints the whole house. And we go up into the bedroom, and she's like, I hope you like it. We walk in and she thought that the two blues were one would the whole room would be blue and the other one would be the darker of the two would be the accent wall.
Uh-oh.
And I walked in and was like, oh my God, what'd you do?
Is it like we're talking it's blue, isn't it?
Well, it's like sky blue and then like dark sky blue. Like it's like, and we walked in, I'm like, oh. And she's like, well, I thought that's what you want. I told him to do this because you want it. We're like, repaint it right now. I'm like, do the beige color that is across the rest of the house, that wall can stay. That was an emergency. My wife was like, oh my God, thank God. I hated it so much, but I didn't want to say anything. Like it was her nice thing for me, but like you could feel her panic, like walking into that room. And I'm like, oh my God, like, what did you do? And she's like, oh my God, I thought this was what you wanted. She thought I was going to walk in and be like, oh, this is our, it's amazing. Right. And then, yeah, but that was an emergency. She would have killed herself.
Fascinating that your wife acquiesced to what her vision was for this insanely blue room in the assumption that you're going to love it.
Oh yeah.
Right? Only to come to find out that you both are on the exact same page. And this is way too much.
We still have the one blue wall in the bedroom. And I still don't think she likes it, but it's still there. So whatever.
But it provides the accent. So going back to
no pain emergency. Sorry, I interrupted.
The number to your email thing. I love it. Right. Like just as a hierarchy system, I as you were saying the archive thing, I'm trying to imagine in my head if I archived my emails instead of like just doing the things that I need to do. An example would be like a lot of the email traffic that I get are the online invoices from vendors, right? Sure. And so I'm filtering those to ultimately Meg and then job folders, yada, 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 just trying to keep all that in line. And that, see, the interesting part there is that's a part of the organization in my head. But even if I didn't have each client with a label, I'd still be able to go find that email. I would like,
yeah. So every year at the flip of the calendar, I'm like, I'm going to be more organized this year. but here's the thing. Like, dude, it's in a computer. You know what I do? Most of, like now what I do is I just go to like the documents folder.
Yeah.
And then I type in what I want. And it takes me a lot less time. Like, like I think in 2023, I'm just doing one folder. I'm just going to do one folder. I'm just putting everything in one folder, and then I can sort it alphabetically or by date, like just right at the header. And then if I can't find it that way, search.
Search.
And then I'll, you know, so next going into, which I can do it now, but.
But you want to start with the new year.
Well, here's the thing. It's like the last week of the year, there's nothing to do. So, so, but what I'm going to do is I'm just going to like my, instead of making my goal better organization, better labeling.
Start like almost take the organization. You're still organizing better, but you're just you're creating a tighter avenue and saying we're going to label better.
Yeah, I'm just going to label better because ultimately what happens at the end of the day, I'm like, this computer's going so slow. I need to restart it. I need to shut it off. I need to shut it down, whatever. And then I look and I'm like, oh, I've got 9 spreadsheets open, 6 PowerPoints, 15 Word documents.
A couple of podcasts.
I got my music playing. I've got a podcast recording. I've got a second one that is being transcribed. I've got all this stuff going on. I wonder why my computer's running slow.
But this machine doesn't work.
And so then I'm like, why is it running slow? Stupid thing. I got to shut it down. And then everything says book one or Word document one or whatever. And so then I have to go through and I just scatterbrain like, and then they go into just a big folder like and then I'm like, where did I put that thing? And I just called it that thing I was working on, and I'm like, oh weird, I couldn't find it,
that thing I was working on.
But here's, and so then what I do is I look for what I thought I called it, can't find it, and then I go, what was, like, what's a phrase that would be in there that wouldn't be in a whole lot of other documents? And then I type that in, and I 90% of the time I find it, and when I don't, I'm sad. But the worst part is when you're in subfolders and you're looking for it, and then you go into another subfolder, and then I'm like, screw this. This is a waste of time. So I just go to the main folder, and then it just searches the whole thing. That's what I'm doing.
Crazy.
That's my move.
Okay.
So you get into the busy time.
Yep.
Overwhelmed or close to overwhelmed, whatever. What's your mode?
Yeah.
So, was I right? Is a bath with candles?
No, it's not a bath with candles. In fact, I'm not a bath guy. Like,
does just the word bath give you anxiety? Like, you,
it's
your expression, like, was like, ugh.
Yeah, it's, no, it, that's a no for me. I don't like the concept of sitting in lukewarm water.
Whoa. And what's wrong with lukewarm?
It's
Luke.
It came off decision on. No, not that. Ah,
pay attention.
All the dad jokes today too. So what I do though is, we know this, right? I love being outside, right? Like that's a big part of it. And in particular, what I'm now finding, so as we went through June and the beginning of July, I figured out that I ended up spending through June and the beginning half of July, I was outside each weekend, I believe 5 of 6 of those weekends, if not 6 of 6.
Excellent.
Like, in the Cascades, away from my phone, or well, without the ability to be on my phone, like doing the things, right? Just in that, and that goes for content creation. It goes for, like, I mean, I made content, but I'm not posting it. I'm creating content for later, but the things that I enjoy doing. And so in this going out to the woods, what I'm, and maybe this is as I'm getting older, I'd never been a reader, like of books. Like, not that I don't enjoy them sometimes, but
I like that you threw the of books. So it's like, I can read.
Well,
never been a reader. Like, I mean, I can do like signs and like a pamphlet, maybe a brochure.
Short words.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty good with sentences, paragraphs of books.
That being said, oh my gosh. That being said, I've found a couple of books that I really am enjoying. And in particular, I go back to like high school, college, yada, 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 where
you're you find the Choose Your Own Adventure books? Because those are awesome.
No, I did not. But I think I found one, or I found two that are arguably better than the Choose Your Own Adventure. I know what those are. But the first one I'm going to talk about, and I think that if you haven't read this, I really do encourage you in particular, I just think that you as a human would enjoy this book. because of A, your relative age to me, and just knowledge of the things. And it is this one right here, Green Lights. Okay. Matthew McConaughey's autobiography.
You know what? I actually have that on reserve at the library.
I need you to read it.
I do. I've gotten three notifications and I have not gone and picked it up. My wife and I have been doing library carding it. And excellent. I my wife read it and she's like, you have to read it. And I, three times I've said, I don't have time.
No, it's like, good. She's going to start harping on you more now. Guarantee it.
She'll okay. Like, hey, I heard you think she listens to this podcast. You're adorable.
I do.
I have a show that is broadcast on the radio. Like all she has to do is like turn it on and she's like, where are you going? I'm like, oh, off to the show. And I'll be on the air from 9 to 11. And she's like, What are you doing right now? I'm talking over to Portland.
But she's driving nothing. Not anyway. Nah.
Like so, it's so rare when she listens, which is nice. Cause then I can talk about her.
Yeah. Solid.
I guess.
Green Lights though. And here's what I do love about this autobiography. First, he's a storyteller, right? Yep. Matthew McConaughey, the way that he tells stories. People say that I do similar things in the way that, like, if you ask me how my weekend was, it's not, oh, I went.
All right.
It's everything in the lead up. It's all of it, right? I'm going to tell you the whole story about that weekend.
Okay. Let me just start with when I was six.
I'm going to give you, like, this is where I was when I was 6 years old. So now I'm going
to
go.
This is why this is why it matters. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
So the interesting part, though, is that what he does in this autobiography is he takes the life events that are happening to him in his personal life, and he pairs them to some of the movies that he's creating at that same juncture in his life, and coming to some of these realizations on just his viewpoints in the world.
Here's what I need to know.
Go.
Does he explain what the hell is going on in those Lincoln commercials that he does?
So I'm only on part five.
Oh, see, this is what I need. But you're familiar with the commercials.
Oh, yeah. We're
just driving through and he's like staring at a bull in the road. Like, this car is great because there's a bull.
He does talk about the All Right, All Right, All Right.
Oh, yeah, he does.
In Wooderson and how that character came to be. And it's all fascinating.
That movie.
That is his life. That just the way that he's falling into what we now know to be iconic things that are happening, right?
Yeah.
Like, All Right, All Right, All Right. You can say that anywhere in the world, and 90% of humans know. Okay, I'm just throwing out numbers.
Yeah,
but they know. They most I think humans will know what that is. So, or at least where it comes from.
Yeah.
And that part I find fascinating. And as a storytelling book of one's life journey, the way it's written and the way that he journaled his life, with little quips and edits, and he's writing things out that are on his mind, and then the adventures he takes. It's fascinating. Yep. I mean, he's in Africa, he's in South America. He's just, it's awesome.
Cool.
All that.
Cool.
The second book, arguably more powerful, much easier to read, and relatable to every single age of human that exists on this planet.
Okay.
Every single age. I don't care if you are 4. I don't care if you are 80. You can identify with this book because of its simplicity in what it is. Okay. Now, this book, I've read this multiple times. It takes about an hour to get through. It's not a long book. This is actually a graphic novel. It's called The Boy, the Boy, the Mole, the Fox, the Horse. Okay.
Okay. Never heard of it. It is not on reserve at the library.
This is a graphic novel. A lot of it's going to look like this, right?
Sure.
These types of illustrations.
I don't think we're publishing the video. It's hand drawn.
So
it's when you say graphic novel, this is not The Watchmen.
No, not the. But they qualified as.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I understand. But yeah, it's more. It looks. You just showed it up, and I don't think I'm recording the video for this, unless you start.
Well, that was for you.
I understand, but we have people listening to this. You dummy.
Oh.
Recording a podcast for people to listen to with their ears, not their eyes. It looks like Shel Silverstein.
Yeah.
Light in the Simple. Attic. Where the sidewalk ends. That's what it looked like if I had to compare it to something. Speaking of something everybody should be able to visualize.
Yeah, that's true.
I started reading those poems to my kids. Oh God, they're fantastic. And just ridiculous and
so good. Yeah. But this book it's fascinating to me because of the way that you could apply it to your life and for every single human, the way that they could apply it is different.
The fox, the mole, the horse, the donkey, the buffalo.
It's the boy, the mole, the fox, the horse.
Boy, the mole, the fox, the horse.
And it's the simplicity of the book in which I love, because what you don't get. So in dichotomy to, or in paradox to the other book, Green Lights, where you're getting a lot of backstory in this novel, you are not getting backstory on the boy, the mole, the fox, the horse. You are getting their interactions and without notion of what has happened in their lives in the lead up to that. And I think that part of it is really, really neat. I'm out in the woods with the kids, right? Yep. We're tenting it up. We're in the tent. And I had brought the book and I wanted to read them the book, right? And I show them the book, we start reading it. And my son, bless his heart. As I'm beginning to read, he says, "Wait, Dad, can you stop?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure. What's up, bud?" And he's like,
"When did you learn how to read?"
No. He goes, he says, Why can you do it in voices? Like, he wants me to do a voice for the mole, a voice for the boy. So then I'm trying, you know, in like, okay, what do they sound like? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I couldn't do that like right then. It was hard.
Yeah, no, I've got the voice for Mama Bear, Papa Bear, Brother Bear, Sister Bear, Berenstain Bears, man. We're all over that.
That's good. But on the spot, I couldn't come up with the voices, but I've been working on that.
Oh, okay. Did you just come out of this podcast to workshop the boy, the mole, the fox, the horse?
No, literally just promotion across the board.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to workshop it.
I can't remember who said it, which I kind of wish I could give him credit for it, because I quoted a lot. And what we've talked about this, I don't really engage too much with social media, but it's kind of a way of looking at, and this is what led my wife and I don't know, probably 3 or 4 years ago to reading a lot more, but it's the idea that if you look at a tweet or a post on social media, it's somebody's thought in the moment. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what this podcast is, which I think it relates to audio as well. Magazine article is going to be somebody's best thought of the week or the month or whatever it is. Newspaper article is their best thought of the day. Magazine article, best thought of the month. A book, though, can be someone's life's work.
Sure.
It can be, you know, they're a year. It can be months. I look at entertainment the same way, where it's like you watch a YouTube clip compared to a television show compared to a film. Deadpool is a funny example of this, because it's like that movie kind of kicked the doors off of the you know, comic book movie. It took that dude 10 years to make that movie. Like, I don't know if you know how long Ryan Reynolds was beating down the door to get the movie. And I know there's other ones, but that's just the example that comes to mind. But it sometimes takes such a long time to craft these stories and put them together. But if you look at books that way, I think you can see the value in them. I mean, the amount of time that Matthew McConaughey took telling that story may have been, you know, a year, may have been throughout his life, just taking notes as he went. But you just realize how much more time is set in that versus following Matthew McConaughey on Twitter.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's the way I've kind of looked at it. And then you approach books. Like, and so it's funny, because when I started reading, I would kind of go in between like a great work of fiction. Like, I just finished Catch 22.
Okay.
Fantastic. Catch 22. Yeah. And it's insane. And it's hilarious. And so I finished that, like a biography. I just finished, I did Dr. J recently.
Okay.
Very, very interesting life. Like, sure. you would think, like, the amount of work that guy put into becoming Dr. J and the amount of luck that goes into it, like the, somebody's biography is always great. And then I was reading like some of these, I guess you would call them self-help or business books or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I realized very quickly that those books are 90% recycled ideas, repackaged ideas. So you can pick up any one of those books and you find one that speaks like in your language and I can get like the value of that. Yeah. But I found that far less interesting. And so what I've done is I've moved to books about like psychology, science, research. There's one, what did I just finish? I'd have to find the title. But it's this author, Steven Pinker, who I've read a couple times, but he has a book called Enlightenment Now that I really like. I can't remember the one that I just finished with him, but it talks about how the world is kind of, everything's better now than it's ever been.
Okay.
So he goes through human history and just goes like, hey, like I know we have like, nothing's perfect. Nothing's ever going to be perfect. But he talks about how the world has gone from where for 99.9% of human history, like the poor people were starving. Mm-hmm. And now, like, especially in the US, poor people are obese. Like it's such a shift that if you took somebody from sick, like here, welcome to America, like, yeah, they'd be astonished with all of the technology and everything that we have. And what's that driving thing? And what the hell is going on with your pocket is ringing and all of those things. But they would stare and look at somebody that was like, oh, here's our poorest people. And then they are like, they look like the glutton that only a king could be in those times. But you look, anyways, it just gives you a different perspective on the world. So what I've done is I've switched and self-help can help itself. What I am going to do, like I want like the business management, how to be a great employee, how to get more out of your workday. Screw all that crap. The human history, there's another great book called Sapiens that is really, I enjoyed immensely. There's a book called Energy and Civilizations that I read. So there's just so many good books that you go in and you take these small pieces from them and then you start to draw parallels between them, right? Like there's, especially with some of the books that are written by these professors and stuff, you'll see little compliments to each other. It was funny because I read Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers.
Okay. I don't know that one.
So Outliers is the one that talks about the 10,000 hour rule.
Oh yeah. Yep.
I think everybody knows the 10,000 hour rule. It's pretty ubiquitous, but what he does is he takes people that have been immensely successful and then reverse engineers their life. And goes, well, how did they become this? And it's all of the stories that he tells follow the same trend. So he talks about Bill Gates, how Bill Gates was, born at the right time where he was given access to one of the first computers and he was able to put in his 10,000 hours. And that's why he knew what he knew when he got it. Same things happened to Steve Jobs. They just happened to have these parallel lives that they were born at the right time, they had the right temperament, and they got in their 10,000 hours. The Beatles were rock stars because they were born at the right time and they ended up in Hamburg, Germany, where they were playing 8-hour sets in strip clubs and they got their 10,000 hours in. And he talks about hockey players. If you're born at the right time, if you're born in November, then you're most likely to be the oldest kid on your team, which means you're going to make the all-star team, which means you're going to get more practice and play with better coaches and get your 10,000 hours in. But he reverse engineers it, but everything he does starts backwards and goes, this guy was great, put in his 10,000 hours. And it's like, well, what about all the other assholes that put in their 10,000 hours and suck? And so there's no way to go and find those people. And so I discovered Steven Pinker because he hates Malcolm Gladwell. He thinks it's he's like, that guy's lazy. And he's a good storyteller, but like, don't trust the science behind what he says. And so that's how I discovered this other author. So then I read his, and there's still some value in, what Malcolm Gladwell's doing. Cause he's telling stories, getting people to think in a different way. And, but it led me down a different path. And then, you take that and you go a different direction and look at some of these other stories. So you'll find the more that you read that there's just this interweaving of thoughts and ideas that are out there that are, like some of the past through your head, man, everybody's thought of it before. Sure. Like maybe not in the exact same fashion, but yeah, no, I'm a big proponent of it and I don't do it enough. And I always look back and like, shit, I should have started reading a lot earlier.
And that's kind of where I'm at now. It's like, man, I kind of like, yeah. I always, because of school, I always felt like these books were being ultimately forced on me and yep. I didn't want to read them. Yada, yada, yada. Yep. I could come up with a million reasons why I sure. don't want to read them. Give me the cliff notes. Let's get through this and get the C. Right. That was where my head was. As I've gotten older in this attempt to slow things down, right? I think that that's where this comes is everything moves so fast in this period of time for me, June, July, August, and September here in Oregon, that I feel that this is that one of those things I can control, yeah. right? So in that control, by having that control, I'm going to opt to slow things down so that when I need to ramp up, I have that energy to go do that.
Sure.
So I've been finding that part fascinating, especially because here's the thing. This is, you know, in the ramp up of box painting, right? You go back to that going, you know, reverse engineering that concept. I didn't do this in the first 3 years of box painting. I didn't do this in the first 4 years. This has been box painting getting busier and me needing to find another way to decompress, yep. right? Find that space that I feel gathered in, I guess is yeah. a way to put it. It's fascinating. I like the little day-to-day stuff though. I don't know that I can archive all my emails. I just don't think I'm trying to, and the anxiety that I feel like when I just think of hitting select all archive, I'm like,
oh, well, think of it this way. Of all the people that you've interacted with, been friends with, had relationships with, how many are long gone that you actually said goodbye to somebody? Well, I mean, you've interacted and had acquaintances and friends your entire sure. life, hundreds, maybe thousands of people that you considered you were close with. How many of them did you actually say goodbye to?
I can't.
A dozen?
Maybe.
If that?
Maybe. Like, the number could very well be zero.
Well, yeah, but it was like, well, when you got divorced, there was paperwork. So we know that there was that one. But the relationship still exists. But it's yeah, like, it but you know, it's like at the end of camp, you're like, all right, I'll see y'all next summer or whatever. But okay. like, but actually having like a genuine goodbye. Or like that person, you go, this is a goodbye. It's I'll see you later. And then you never see him again. Like there's just, but so often in life, we kind of get caught up and like every once in a while, somebody will pop in your head. And with social media, dude, I've got like 600 people that are friends of mine on Facebook. I never talked to any of them. I ran into a guy from high school at the airport. I run into a guy from high school at the airport every like 2 years. And it's like, hey, didn't we have that class in junior high? And then we talk for like 7 minutes and we're like, oh, our lives are going in completely different directions, but congratulations on, you know, still dressing like you did in high school, you weirdo. Like, what are you wearing long shorts and high socks? Like it's 2020, you dork.
Sweet Letterman jacket.
Though. Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh yeah. Costin Jordan. Hey, remember that catch you made in the third quarter against Y East and like junior high football. Yeah. Totally remember that. But
hell yeah, I haven't memorialized.
Dude, that was my peak.
On my wall.
But like, you know, it's like all the people that you interact with and you go, I do like you delete a bunch of emails and a bunch of people that you didn't really care about. Don't get back to you. I'm like, whatever. Move on.
I like this thought process.
Yeah. And if you don't think about, yeah, well, and it's
I need to put it to practice though. I got to see if I can put this to practice. Cause that's, I like the thought process.
How many emails do you have in your email box right now?
So I, for the record, I do a thing where I basically purge almost every day.
Okay,
like where I
probably will, don't, you probably don't need it. It's pretty rare that I get to, like I said, it's like maybe twice a year, but having it in your back pocket too.
Yeah. Just, it's a trump card, right?
Just knowing that you could, and it's not going to be a disaster. Honestly, it helps me manage my email box a lot better.
Interesting.
But I
keep it under 50 emails.
Yeah.
Like that's always my goal. If I can get it under 20, that's even better. But
well, right now, I'll even check right now. I've got 12 emails in my box and in the last 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's a hard pass for me.
No, but I'm saying I have 12 in my inbox. But it's not because I deleted them all today. It's just that, like, all right.
Well, that's good management of your email, though.
Yeah. I like to stay on top of it. But, you know, what happens is I'll get to like 40, 50, 60. Now it's at 100. I'm like, nope. But that's the thing, is my baseline is so low. So when it gets high, I'm just like, that's too much. And I can go through, and you can skim through it and just be like, all right, these people, important.
Yep.
And then you get left with a lot of, like, if you manage out of your inbox, and then you have one that's like, I've been meaning to get to that for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just delete it. Who cares? Like, you've been meaning to get to it and you haven't got to it and they haven't reminded you to get to it, they don't care that much. You don't care that much. See ya.
That's fair.
Yeah. Like, if you deleted my email,
I just wouldn't do it.
I understand that. But like, when we get to it, like the fact that it's sitting there at the bottom of your inbox or the top of your inbox or however you organize it. Right. So it's just sitting there and you've looked at it 15 times.
I don't have time for this today. Sorry, Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. And you move past it. Whatever.
Yep.
What's the difference between that and deleting it? Because on my end, you're not getting back to me. I don't really care. Like, and
not much.
And if it's something that you want to get to, we'll get to it.
We will.
Yeah. So no big deal. I mean, we knew we were going to see each other today and have this lovely conversation. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's setting your priorities and going, all right, like if you went, like, who do you talk to the most in your life? Your dad, your mom, your kids, whatever. Like,
Kids and friends, you know.
Yeah. But
beyond that, no, parents aren't up there that high.
Okay. Official. So hey buddy, I'm gonna give you a call at 9 o'clock. And 9 o'clock comes and you miss calling your son or whatever, and you call the next day and go, hey, sorry, this happened. Mm-hmm. Like, he's probably gonna be more disappointed that you called him like the next morning or like 2 hours later than I would be that you didn't get back to me for 3 weeks. Yeah. Right. Like, so you know what they're, and that's why, like, the priority always goes, like, right now, like, if I got a call from my wife or my kids and they needed something, like, say, dude. But, you know, well, there's what, maybe 4 other people that, like, would do that. Like, if something happened to my parents or whatever, the list of things that would completely interrupt is very short. Like, if any of like 7 people had something serious that happened to them right now, or like 7 million people had something happen to them right now, like, unless it was like a regional catastrophe or like an individual, like, whatever, there's not that many priorities that jump to the top. So it's for me, it tends to be. So let's put a bow on this thing.
Yeah.
Cause I'm busy day. Gotta go.
Yeah. I get it.
But the mode for me, so we're kind of talking about how to prioritize, how to handle the chaos.
Yeah.
And for me, instead of having a checklist, it is more of a mindset of just going like, hey, none of this is more important than my wife, my kids, my whatever, you know, like, there's that certain amount of things that trump absolutely everything. And then there are people that, you know, that I know I need to get back to. And there's some people that they don't need anything from me. And my relationship going to them is, very few people are on equal paths. You know, like, you're my priority. Like, my kids need me more than I need them, but I need them in a very different way than they need me. So if anything happened to them, I mean, like, they rely on me for a lot of shit.
Yeah,
but I rely on them for very little, but they are a way higher priority to me, because if I disappeared, somebody else would take care of the things that they need to, which is a very sad thing to think about. But I need them more than they need me, but they need me in a completely different way, way more than I need them. Yeah. So it's no matter what the relationship is, it's never on equal footing. And as long as you just try to, like, hey, I'm going to make the best of today the best way I can, I'm good. That's so good. For me, it's just that mindset of going, we'll get to it.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. For me, I mean, at the end of the day, for me, it's finding that space to be away from the chaos. Yep. Like, I have to leave it, whether that's with my children out in the woods or even alone. But I do find that
it
must be left. I can't. And I think part of that for me is that when I'm here in the summertime working, I feel that being like, it's almost being compelled to respond and take care of business. So I feel like I have to remove my entire self from said situation. And the interesting part is that I think that I leave the emails unarchived or undeleted to remind myself when I am here working, doing those things that, hey, I still need to, it might not happen now, but that's something that I need to be ready to take care of at some point in the future.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Even as I was going through the franchising bit, it was, well, I can't handle doing when we get to November and December, yep. I can crush the things they're asking of me to do. So yeah, I dig it though.
Do we have the best philosophies on how to handle urgency and stress? Probably not, but there's our ideas. If you have any, share them with Ben on social media. Send him a thing.
Absolutely. Share them with
me. All right. That's a how-to podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Ben, thank you as always. It's an absolute pleasure. And we'll do it again soon. If you want to listen to more of our rambling thoughts on how to accomplish, just about anything, listen through. If you've got ideas for topics, by all means, send them.
Yeah.
To Ben.
Absolutely.
To Ben. At?
Although it'll end up in an inbox that may not get responded to, but
send them. Hey, at least it won't get deleted. How do they get a hold of you?
I am the Box Dad on TikTok and Instagram, DMs on Instagram, or Ben at Box Painting is my email. Super easy to get a hold of me, as always.
Cool. I'm Luke. Bye.